I had a heavy burden on me this morning before Brother Johnstone communicated with me about speaking in service today, and so I'm not going to wrestle with the idea of what time it is or do you need to go or anything like that, because I have a responsibility to fulfill. I appreciate the words and communication from Brother Garcia here early on in the chapter, 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, talking about selflessness that's so important in the expression of love. And that seems to be what it boils down to. It's not about you. Get the attention of off yourself. Not puffed up. Not vain. Do you have an Uncle Bob in your family? Let me describe to you Uncle Bob. You walk into any gathering. I mean, it's the only voice you hear. There's 30 people in the room. And from that point forward, depending on how many he's had, and I could never tell whether he was drunk when I arrived or does he always act that way. But in every gathering, do you have an Uncle Bob? Everybody raised your hands, now you got them all down. He had the jokes, he had to tell the stories, he had to have all attention on him. And if anybody new walked in the door, it was all over again. You know. Now that's, just a part of life. But what I can't figure out is the kind of people that are drawn to those kind of people. All that's within me expels it. But I notice there's some people drawn to that kind of a personality. Almost like, is that the type of a leader you would choose? And they do, because they end up marrying them. Somebody marries those guys. And they're your relatives. Why don't you stand up for a minute? Stretch across the aisle, shake two hands maybe, greet somebody, do something. Stand up, take a breath. We've been here a little while. We're going to go just a little while longer, okay? Praise God. Do you know why that God allows for those kinds of people to come into your life? I don't think it's to set the pattern. Sometimes I think it's to bring a correction. I actually have a Bible for that. Book of Acts, the 8th chapter, starting at verse 2. Devout men carried Stephen to his burial, made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. City, we're talking about an entire city here. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed. from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Now, we have the benefit of reading the descriptive here. The man was involved in sorcery. But what we have here is a people under the influence of one man who has such spiritual influence operating in his life. They're not calling him a witch doctor. They don't think he's involved in witchcraft. They said, this man's got the power of God operating on him. He liked that. I don't know when it began. I don't know how it began. But whatever it was that he connected with spiritually brought such an influence, and you might even say an anointing, upon his life that when he opened his mouth, it so affected people that they said, God, this man is the great power of God. Until a blood-bought, spirit-filled, water-baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of his sins, came into town and started speaking them from the spirit of truth. And they went like this. And they made a switch. He saw that. We don't have much written about the kind of thoughts that went through his mind when the entire city who had been following him, loyal to him, right, respected him, gave him all kinds of regard, turned because a guy came through town with a new message, a new unction, a new inspiration. And they begin to respond, and one after the other, 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 were baptized in water by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Philip was a kingdom preacher. He came preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. He didn't come giving credence to the ministry that operated through him. He was only given credence to the things concerning the kingdom of God. And they which believed what he said were baptized for the remission of their sins. You with me? You need to stand up again? You're okay. But when they believed Philip, they were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Wow, one would almost get the idea that here, this man came to his senses and, you know, repented to the Lord and really broke down and, you know, said, man, I want to get baptized too. I know the Bible says that he believed and was baptized. It's interesting what it takes to bring the motives of the heart of a person to the surface, sometimes by what they see. I'm sure that you could have rejoiced, you know. We baptized 4 Trinitarian pastors tonight. Just teasing. We baptized a sorcerer tonight. Philip could have started, you know, www.philipministries.com.
We baptize a warlock tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to have crusades now from now on. And we're going to build us a team. We're going to go from city to city and put on crusades. What do you think all that gets started? Here's a man who is used to having the preeminence among people. Let me give out a disclaimer here. I don't know of anybody involved in our ministry team or staff with an attitude like this. They'd have been gone a long time. They would not survive here. We don't give a lot of accolades to men. We don't elevate, pump up, build up, promote men. We promote the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? So I was a little bewildered this morning as I hung over the bed. God pressing this in my spirit. Well, I just trust you, Lord. This is your business. You're building this thing. You're doing this. And so I have to trust him that he's going to make adjustments, possibly, in me, in you, that are here under the sound of my voice, to save and protect you. Now, let me go a little further. Simon believed, was baptized, continued with Philip, wondering. Now, when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, mark real quickly, jump to 3 John, 3 John, chapter 1 at verse 9 and 11, 9 through 11. Similar scenario here. We just read that when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent somebody else down to another apostle. This is Paul writing. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Next verse. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. This is a leader. This is a leader in a congregation of believers. That when Paul contacted him and said, hey, we need to do this, and I'll need to send a guy. You need to receive this guy. He said, no way. I'm in charge here. Ain't nobody telling me what to do. Ain't nobody taking my place. Hello? And cast them out of the church. Verse 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil, he hadn't even seen God. We're talking about leadership here. This is leadership 101 right here. Verse 15 of Acts. When they were come down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay. The apostles got the word back at Jerusalem. Peter. John. We feel like you need to go down to Samaria and pray that they might receive the Holy Ghost. I don't know what the report was that got up to Jerusalem. They'd heard the word of God, that obeyed, they'd been baptized. Now, watch this. I don't think I have ever filled anybody with the Holy Ghost. I may have missed it. I may have not been aware. I don't think I've ever filled anybody with the Holy Ghost. Have you?
No.
What's wrong with Philip? What's wrong with him? He's preaching the word. They're responding. He's baptizing the whole community. Why isn't he praying them through to the Holy Ghost? There's got to be something wrong. Or God is saving a man. God's protecting a man. God is working in such a way that he, knowing the nature of a man, does not get so elevated and so lifted up. So he spreads it around a little. We're reading the word. This is the word. Philip didn't pray one through the Holy Ghost. Not one. Peter and John come down and it's bam, 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 bam. Simon's attention got his attention. He's got Simon's attention. He's looking and he says, he's seeing this. Man, whosoever they lay their hands on are receiving the Holy Ghost. Now this guy that everybody thought was so cool, look, we baptized a sorcerer. No, they didn't call him that. They thought he had the power of God. I know, I'm just talking subliminally here. Because we need to pay attention. Pay attention to the ministries that you give ear to. And you run after. This is going out there in tape land. And you chase after and you run after the www dots. For the crowd, rather than the message, rather than the truth, rather than the word of God, for whatever reason, for the showmanship. What was in the man's heart surfaced. Listen, I'll give you $5,000 if you'll just, you know, give me the ability that I could lay hands on people and they would receive the Holy Ghost like you guys are doing. This is awesome. This is how he would talk. You guys are awesome. You guys are so cool. You guys, there ain't nobody like you guys. Your ministry's just gone, you know. That's the way that he would have talked. They're still around today. And Peter says, dude, you got a problem. I perceive that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of sin or iniquity. Now, isn't that an interesting statement for an apostle to make to a man that just got baptized a little bit ago? Isn't that an interesting statement? He may have got baptized in the water, but there was something in his heart and in the motive of that individual when he went down and came back up. And the things that were there, because of what he saw, what came to the surface again, and he began to speak out. He could have become super evangelist. You know, he had all those people following him. And that's what he wished for. That's what he desired for. Pray with me right now about your own heart and the motive of our hearts. Why do we do what we do?
Here's a question. His statement, give me also this power on whomsoever I lay hands that he may receive the Holy Ghost. Was this born out of a desire to see people saved? Do you see how easily that could be masked? You know, the right thing. But his desire was rooted in self-exaltation. He that exalts himself shall be abased. But he that starts down here, he that abases himself, shall be exalted in due time, according to the Lord. Your money perish with you because you have thought the gift of God can be purchased with money. Let's go to Matthew 23, 5 through 7. Jesus warned, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Did he not? And this is where he's making this statement coming down and says, but all their works, all their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries. They enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the uttermost rooms at feasts, the chief seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplace, to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi, Pastor, Pastor. Oh, excuse me, I did. That's a misread. I want to be recognized. I want to be in the ministry. I want others to call me pastor. I got to tell you, that doesn't get on the men as much as it gets on the men's wife. I've been in this for years, and I've watched men get into situations they shouldn't be. And if they could get out, they've talked to me. They've told me. I'm just the intern. I'm getting ready to get out of here. And I'm thinking, well, how long you been there? 10 years. But can't get away. Why? Why? Why can't they get away? They're married. They got a wife. Loves to be called the pastor's wife. Ooh, we're getting down and gritty here. Of course, if you think for a minute my wife acted that way toward me, I'd be saying this publicly. Not on your life. But this is an element that works its way into the body of Christ that, to me, brings things to a screeching halt because flesh wants to be exalted. Right. Because flesh wants to be called by some title. Right. Your ministry will make room for itself. Right. Period. Your ministry will make room for itself. Maybe, this is okay, right? Maybe you're called to be out on a street corner ministering to the people that walk by. And you're looking for it somewhere else. I don't know. I'm talking to people out there too. Like I said from the beginning, I don't see this in the congregations that I'm a part of. But this was pressed on my spirit to talk about this and minister this. Turn your iPod up a little bit. Out there in iPod land. Now get this. I can't pass this. They love the uppermost rooms. You know, there's actually another element, and I think it's called it's when a person goes overboard trying to look humble that they look proud. What is that? You're overdoing it, dude. It's almost like, man, I feel so much about myself that I'm sure that these people, so I better put on a little bit of, so I'm not misread. And I'm thinking, dude, your book is so loud. Praise God. Acts 14 and 8. Another chapter. Just real quickly here. There sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent. This is the contrast. There sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being crippled from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying the speech of Lycaone, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." Oh, dude, opportunity is knocking. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius. My stepfather's name's Mercurio, by the way. Because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifices with the people. Which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard it, they rent their clothes and ran in among them, crying out, saying, "Sirs, why do you do these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God." What a contrast. Jesus healed people and said, "Let's keep this between you and me. Let's keep this between you and me." What a contrast. He that is greatest among you, let him be your servant. God, would you make us servants in our hearts? Not that we would just go and do a bunch of activities and actions as though that's seeking the path to climb up a ladder. But could you make me a servant in my heart? Do a work of your spirit in here to me. You know, I know this is true. I've never asked for the things that God's involved me in. I only responded when he... You don't have to ask. Why don't we stand? This is where you have not because you ask not does not apply. It doesn't apply. He wants to operate and function through your life more than you could even imagine. And so when we position ourselves with him, he can make a way where there seemeth to be no way. He makes ways when there looks like there's ways. He makes other ways. Amen. I know we're all shaking our heads because I know I'm preaching to the choir. You know this. You don't have a preeminent bone in your body. So this is probably just for the tape world, which we don't have anymore. Praise God. Lord, I'm thankful when you talk to me. I'm thankful when your word teaches me, makes adjustments in my own spirit, my own attitude. I'm thankful to you. Without you, I can do nothing, Lord. Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So somebody who exalts themselves is walking in contrast, opposite the teaching of the Word of God. So talk to me about the millions of followers who follow that. Or let me talk to you. I find that, remember, Uncle Bob, I hope Uncle Bob never hears this. I talk to you about who follows that. And when I see ministries that are self-promoting and there's a man at the center, there's a, you know, there was a word that they use, see if I can come up with it. I worked for a company years ago that was owned by some very wealthy people, but they were just people. So what did they do? They got him a football player and made him the general manager. It was a food selling company. He was a figurehead. Okay? Really didn't know anything about the business. But his name, we got a car lot like that down here. His name, you know, was promoted. We're building around this guy's personality, his name, his achievement, his fame. And we've got ministries around the world, and it has worked to invade itself into the wonderful United Pentecostal Church of building ministries on personalities and people and names. Now, here's something that I've observed. We call it hero worship. Individuals who are drawn to hero worship, in my opinion, have got a little place down in here that wants to be the hero themselves. Now, here's the problem with that, and I've observed it firsthand. When the hero falls, that ugly spirit rises up in them, and the very hero they worship, they have now become their archenemy. How does that happen? Worship them for 10 and 15 and 20 years, and then when there's a problem, you become their arch enemy. How does that happen? Because somebody that follows hero worship has got a seed down in there that needs to be dealt with. Maybe it would be called a gall of bitterness, something in there. Did your big sister get more fame than you did as a child in the household? Did something happen? We're going to stay right here. The Lord wants to help somebody. Was there a situation that you went through in your childhood that you didn't realize that was the root, but now it's surfacing? And you're getting understanding, and you begin to realize, the Lord wants to help you. I am so serious right now. The Lord wants to help you. Some people never realize it's there, except for there's all these symptoms, you know, working around them. There's always these symptoms, and you know, and we call it idiosyncrasies and things like this, but there's never really that resolved peace with God. Because we're still fighting that battle. We're still, you know, it's still even a sibling rivalry. There's something deep in there. And you might have been 5 years old, and she got it and you didn't. He got it and you didn't. And you're still fighting the battle. What I find is people who have a root of bitterness down there from that long ago will often find themselves chasing after hero worship. Because
It's what they want to be. They want to be the overcomer. They want to be the achiever. And it was just never that way. The sad thing is the battle's within. Your argument's not with anybody. The battle is within. And settling it between you and the Lord and letting him touch that place in you that nobody else could touch. He wants to help. He wants to help. And I want to give you an opportunity here. There is a power in words that are unction from God that begins to reveal and bring things up to the surface so that you will allow him to do something for you. We can just pass on through life and we're just like this. Man, we got that Kevlar vest on. Ain't nothing coming through and penetrating, and you work through life and you just work harder. You just work through it. Work harder. But deep down, there's resentment. I know people that are in their 50s that carry that today. Put on a, oh God. And I wonder, why doesn't truth ever penetrate their heart or mind? And I'm thinking, wow, they got this big stone that goes back way then. The Lord would only bring this to your attention because he wants to help you. He doesn't want to scorn you. He doesn't want to accuse you. He's only wanting to bring you to a matter of truth for your own life. I said last week, I pulled adamantly about not allowing yourself to be deceived, didn't I? It would not leave my spirit. Don't let yourself be deceived. Here's the key. Here is a key. Paul, exercising a conscience void of offense with God and man. That any time anything would surface in him. Oh God, I felt that. I heard. Oh Lord, this word, it's dealing with me. It's touching me. Help me, cleanse me, purge me, make me whole. Daily. Did his ministry go anywhere? It touched the world. It's touching you today. How important is this? You know, can't we settle this at home privately in my bedroom? Nobody around. Well, if the Lord would go to there with you and talk with you, maybe so. He chose this time. He wants to help. Let's make it easy on our brother and sister. Let's all come to the altar together. If you want to just stand there for a while, go ahead. You're making it easier on your brother and your sister. We don't want to put a spotlight. The Holy Ghost can do that. Come on. Yielded, surrendered. Yielding and surrender to the deep things that you've worked most your life to put a cover over, a blanket over. But it rises its head in conversations. It rises its head in situations. Unprovoked. And you wonder, what is that? Why is that there in my life? Come on, let him touch you. Let the love of God touch you today. The way Brother Garcia was talking about earlier. Come on. His love can operate through me when I'm healed and whole. It'll operate through me when I'm healed and whole. Not always working to cover that wound, that place that Jesus.
Stage and set the sound and lights ablaze. If that's the measure you must take to crush the idols, shook the pews and all the decorations too, until the congregation's filled and have revival. Tell your friends that this is where the party ends. Till you're broken for your sins, you can be so sure. And seek the Lord and wait for what He has in store. And know that great is your reward. So just be hopeful, 'cause you can sing all you want to. Yes, you can sing all you want to. You can sing all you want to, but don't get it wrong. For worship is more than a song. You have made and sit at home alone and wait for God to whisper. Beg and plead to open up His mouth and speak, and pray for real upon your knees until they blister. Shine the light on every corner of your life, until the pride and lust and lies are in the open. Read the word and put to test the things you've heard, until your heart and soul are stirred and rocked and broken. I
fest invitations.